Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps and our catch up with Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital. Tony Lecantro, not only are you looking terribly smart today, I don't know if it's new glasses or whatever, but we've got the nice Alto Capital. Look at those curtains behind you. This is very schmick, my friend.
Oh, it's the evolution of the home office. And yeah, we had to wait 4 months for those curtains. So yeah, huge improvement on the rice paper rolls, as I call them. I mean, you couldn't get up to any funny business on the couch. So
Yeah. Now
we've got curtains now, so that's all good. And the plants are the female touch. So my partner she's got a bit of a plant fetish. So it's all looking good. And I like wearing my Alto polo shirt. It makes me feel like a property spruiker at times, but anyway, as long as people know where I'm from. But anyway,
well, we know how to get a hold of you. We know that you're from Alto Capital, but we do also know you're not a spruiker. There's one thing you aren't, is a spruiker, because you do your research, you do your homework. And one of the things that all of our subscribers love about what you're talking about all the time is, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is not financial advice. If you want financial advice or if you want stock advice, become a client of Tony's. Don't become a client of mine, because I'm not one of them. I'm just here to share information. But if you want to get some proper advice, go become a client of Tony's if he'll fit you in. But if you don't want to do that, just make sure you do your own research, because it's really important. And these conversations are just our opinions only. And as I say, it is very volatile out there. It is risky. I'm always sort of stuck, you know, Tony, we've spoken about this before. I'll ask you again, is it toppy, or with all these stimmy checks going out all over the world and governments printing money like there's no tomorrow, are we just in for a fine old ride for the next few years?
The last weekend, actually, it felt like the top of the Eastern States property bubble. The Daily Telegraph family photo index, I think, reached its peak. You know, there's this family out the front of a house they paid 20 times earnings for. It just felt like a classic speculative blow-off, not dissimilar to what I went through when the NASDAQ died, and that was certainly some nasty times. So I think that the chance to sell your overpriced house, the chance to sell your used car, now that supply is coming in, it's almost up. And I'd also look to put your treadmill, your freezer and other home office equipment you don't need onto Gumtree pretty quick. And I think now this is the best once in a generation selling opportunity I've ever seen. And being an economic realist, someone who's into psychology, I can accept the fact that COVID has bought people an extra year to get themselves sorted. And, you know, we've had two black swans, we've had the Liberal fluke election result, and we've had a global pandemic that, instead of affecting people's wealth, it's gone the other way. But now I don't think there's a third black swan to come. I don't think there's another event where people can adopt the ostrich method, stick their head in the sand and not return calls to their banks. So I think a dose of economic reality is about to hit, and we could have probably up to 5 years of being sandpapered to death on an economic basis. So this is the chance to just pretty much sell everything. However, the problem people have is they have sentimentality about a backyard, about where the kids grew up, or they like to walk to a cafe. They cannot let go. And an asset is only of sentimental value if you can afford to hold the bloody thing. So
yeah, we Tony, I'm gonna come in and argue on this point.
Let's do it.
Love a good argument. Now, First of all, right now, Australia's in a pretty good position. don't have very much COVID. But the other thing is, the two things that Australia has done extreme well, this is what we're known for. We are agriculture and mining, which is commodities. Now, around the world, we've got governments printing money and putting lots of infrastructure projects in place, which means they're going to need iron ore coming from Australia, because Brazil's a basket case. They're not going to get iron ore from Brazil. So Australia's in a great position. Companies like Fortescue, BHP, Rio, they're going to, I think they're going to do very well. Other commodities are pretty strong. Even the gold price is strengthening at the moment. So from a commodities point of view, from exporting our commodities, Australia looks like it's doing pretty well. As well as that, we have a good, strong agricultural base. And you can't live without food. So we'll be exporting food as well. You know, our food exports are on the increase. So from an economic point of view, in comparison to some of the other countries around the world, I would have thought, and also people wanting to move here, they'll even take the 2 weeks quarantine if they have to. But I can't, I understand a little bit of where you're coming from, but I beg to differ, because I do think that Australia is in a very strong economic place at the moment. Well, that's my 2 cents worth, Tony.
You can't have a strong economy and interest rates at 0.10 when the long-term RBA cash rate is 6.5%. And you've got, they're saying now the deposit on a new house is $110,000.
Yep.
It's a load of absolute bullshit that a young couple can save that. They're getting that from the banker mum and dad. They're maxing out credit cards. They're cooking the books. Now, all I'm saying is, when you get a speculative blow-off, all you need is an exhaustion of buyers. People that have some common sense not to go out and buy a house in East Broken Hill for $1.6 million. So that's it. You know, and people, if you want to go out towards East Broken Hill and pay a fortune, it's ridiculous. And my argument is...
Now, hang on a second. I even checked East Broken Hill recently and it hasn't gone up that much. And in fact, there's some very good buyers out in Broken Hill. One of my favourite places, ladies and gentlemen, because we held a mining conference out there many years ago, Tony, didn't we? It was fun as, but... It hasn't, the speculation mania hasn't hit Broken Hill, but it has hit places in Sydney where people are. And this, what we're going to talk about tonight is not all about property, but look, Australia is obsessed with property. It's interesting that you think that it is very much up there amongst a bit of a blow off top at the moment. I just, I don't know, the more money that goes into it, people keep selling and then somebody else come, you know, it just, it's funny money. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
I should disclose that the district of East Broken Hill starts at around Penrith. So, let's be clear about that one. So I probably should have used East up. Look, it is a classic speculative bubble. People are going to get absolutely slaughtered. We've got small businesses, once this JobKeeper ends, are going to get smashed. We've got mortgage stress. If you look at Martin North's figures, at record high levels, and the greatest ship of fools is sailing. So I just think that this is going to be a very nasty time. Any hint of an interest rate rise, I think, is going to have a huge impact on prices. Retail's gone through the roof. Everyone's been using these stupid buy now, pay later.
I know.
But at some point, they're going to realise that all this materialistic shit does not make you happy. And to me, financial freedom is chucking some eye fillet and smoked salmon and a case of beer in the shopping trolley. It's got nothing to do with, you know, people are going to start buying things they want and one day they're going to be forced to sell things they need. This is the most stupid speculation and retail consumerism I've seen. It was dying before COVID. So yeah. I don't think families are going to have a reason. I call it the COVID cuddle, where they can blame it on COVID, where they can get out of making repayments. They can claim all of this. I just think it's the game's over and you just have to look at how much stupid money is flowing into all these markets. Because, look, I accept dumb money can go on a lot longer, but none of these people sit down and realise that a house should cost between 4 to 6 times earnings, not 20 times, and everything's priced for perfection. So I think, honestly, that things are going to turn to shit. It's going to take a long time for everything to unwind, but now is the chance, I think, to pretty much sell everything if you can let go of something of sentimental value. And as I said, you know, we often remember, you know, the couple of times that we enjoyed playing in the backyard, but it doesn't, you know, bring back all the stress that families are going through. And I just think that, you know, this is happening around the world, that prices are going insane, and it extends to stocks. But
okay,
stop.
All right. So let's just put a little thing around this and go, okay, so I'm going to sell my $2 million home. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have one of those at the moment. I'm renting. But I'm selling my $2 million home. I'm putting my cash in the bank. It's going to go backwards with inflation and zero interest rates. Is that a sensible move?
Well, it sure as hell beats losing 30 to 50% on an asset, especially if you're leveraged. So if you're one of these purchasers that's based on ego, that you don't need the money, you'll go out and buy a showcase home, you might go and buy a Maserati, you might upgrade your wife, something like that. I mean, that's the show pony economy will never die. Everyone wants beachfront, everyone wants that. But if you're on Struggle Street, and $2 million now in Sydney doesn't get you that much. So I think people need to go get some financial help, not all the time from me, but it's ridiculous. I don't think the financial literacy in this country is terrible. I don't think people will go get help until it's too late, and they don't look back at all the major housing price bubbles where of the gains in real terms, you lose 70% of those gains in real terms. So for example, 600 grand to 1.2, you're going to see $420,000 wiped off in real terms, and that tends to be the base case. So look, assets, they tend to move back to the mean, and then unfortunately they overshoot to the downside.
But again, aren't we in different times at the moment, Tony? And I say that because in the past with these bubbles and changes, et cetera, we did not have the amount of money printing and QE1 to infinity and all this stimulus going out to people and the talk of UBI, which is universal basic income, and all the support that's around people spending the funny money, as I call it. This time it's different. I know that's something that you know... I don't know. I just see that governments, and especially in Australia, with the amount that is in the property bubble, they're not going to let it go. They'll do whatever it takes to keep putting air into that bubble for the next 10, 20, maybe even longer years.
I think they've got the Buckley's family tree doing that. You can't stop a few families in a suburb selling and then having a real estate agent come around to their house, present the glossy brochures, who has to eat first, and then say, I have price discovery, and suddenly you've got 20% off in that suburb. The government cannot support this bubble. If anything, they'll bring in something similar to what New Zealand have, and the air will come out of the market. But I don't think that's required. It's just a simple exhaustion of buyers, just like we had in every other bloody bubble in history. So I say that the three most expensive words in life are I love you. The four most expensive words in life are this time is different. That's it. And the two most expensive words are, of course, I do. tend to lead to 80% depreciation of what assets you have left, which
I've got to say this, Tony, you know, you do make me laugh with these things, but you do come up with some, you know, and I think it's, quite often I say to people, points to ponder, you know, we've got to have these conversations, because if we don't, then you're going to get in trouble. So what would you say to people is the best thing for them to do? Is the market also a little bit toppy at the moment?
Of course it is.
Okay. But if you'd said that a year ago, people would have potentially not ridden the latest wave. And I know that there are people going into stocks where they haven't got a clue what the company is even doing, and that's very dangerous. But if you'd said to people, sit in cash a year ago, that would have been a terrible thing to say. Are you telling them to sit in cash now? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'd never tell people to sit in cash if they're not interested in the stock market. See, what happened was when we had that COVID crunch in March, I was buying some of our stocks at one third of where they are now, even less. So one of those stocks off the lows, which I'll talk about soon, has actually 10 bagged from the COVID crunch. I mean, I don't think anyone has the financial nous to go out and put together a proper portfolio, which consists of precious metals, consists of some income providing stocks, and has some high growth stocks. People cannot do that. They just follow what's ever said in the Daily Telegraph or the Financial Review. So, I mean, I've got 260 people to look after. Admittedly, I'm starting to stretch my client base now, but these good times are over. People are going to need some serious help. I can see social issues coming. I can see a steady increase in depression. We're already maxed out on antidepressants.
Yeah.
Going to get very ugly. You're going to have more domestic violence. Not in one point in Australia's history have assets become so overvalued. I've actually increased my bet against the US with more. I bought more B-Bus. I'm just waiting. You know, the Dow moves up 57 points. It's a 33 grand index. It just me. It's tiptoeing through the tulips. It's I think I can. I think I can. Oh shit, I can't. So it's only going to take a 500, 800, 1,000 point down night, and suddenly everyone on Twitter's bearish.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right. So, a couple of things.
Yep.
What's the ideal portfolio in such a volatile and unusual and scary market? And not scary. It's not a scary market.
It will be shortly. Look, I think you need to have a mixture of gold and silver. I still believe silver is the most explosive asset class out there. I know that John Adams is doing a lot of work. I know the Perth Mint are having supply issues. I'd certainly be more weighted in silver than gold. I'd also have a portion of one's wealth in BBOZ or BBUS, which are betting against the US and Australian stock markets. I'd have a portion in some gold companies. And I'd have some of it in cash or in some more income producing assets. But, you know, to get that mix right for someone, really you've got to sit down and have a financial plan, which I don't think many people do. The extent of financial planning in this country is making an afterpay payment, really.
Yeah, and you know, I've got to say, some of the financial planners that I've come across, look, some of them are brilliant. I'm not decrying the whole industry. But I've got to say, some of them, I shake my head and I wonder where they got that piece of paper from, because they're really not fully aware of what's going on.
Well, normally it's a cut and paste. It's a cut and paste. And Australia needs to get off worrying about what Bryce and Melissa are doing. We need to get over Khloe Kardashian's bikini shot. Really, who gives a shit? Prince Philip, yeah, well, that's sad. That deserves to be in the press. But get over it. Look at your financial assets and take it seriously, because as I said before, we've reached a top and it's a long way down now.
All righty. So I want to talk about some stocks. We love talking about stocks with you. Now. What's that?
You got me fired up now.
Good. I love it when you get fired up, Tony. It was Easter last weekend. You probably ate too much chocolate.
No. I actually had the Easter weekend at Crown, but you know, there was a saying on The Big Short that, you know, truth, you know, poetry, something to do with truth and poetry, and most people frigging hate poetry. So anyway, something like that. Anyway, what I could do is run you through. I'm obviously a stock picker. I'm going to run people through my top 15. Just make a few comments.
There we go. Let's go to the top 15. We're going to race through this, Tony.
Yeah, we're going to race through it because you got me fired up talking about other stuff. So
yeah, well, oh, look at this. There you anyway. Go. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be up for a couple of minutes to give you a chance to take. Well, it was going to be up for a couple of minutes.
It's still there.
No, it's not. I've got a blue screen.
Oh, did I drag it? Oh dear.
You dragged it, my friend. Oh, there we go. It's back again.
All right.
There we go. So
yeah. So what I do each year is put my top stocks list up on Twitter. I'll also put who I think is going to win the premiership. So I'll pick Port Adelaide in the AFL.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If they can get their act mentally together. And I'll pick Penrith in the other game that no one cares about. So anyway.
What game would that be, Tony?
NRL.
Okay. Right, let's go. Number one, Altus Inc.
Altus Inc., great company, building a real asset base in Italy. They just got hit by the Facebook / Reddit traders. The share price actually got up to 0.9 on massive volume. It's now back at 0.65. So I'm happy to hold that for clients. They are going to do a share consolidation. That means there'll be less shares on issue and the share price will move up to reflect that. So that certainly remains a firm hold. Okay. Adalta up to about 18, back to 17. That did have a run to 26.5. They have an alliance with GE Healthcare and they're also involved in idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which pretty much kills people within 5 years. So awaiting for clinical results on that one. Allumin, I've bought everything. I told my clients to buy it till their nose bleeds. So we bought everything from 23, 25, 26, 27. They're up to about 32, 33 at the moment. That still remains one of the best gold growth stock opportunities I've ever seen.
And I'm going to interrupt you for a minute just to do a plug for myself, which is Aurumin will be presenting at the next virtual gold conference, which is on the 29th of August. So if you want to find out why Tony likes that stock so much, go to goldevents.com.au and register. It's free. And you'll hear from Brad, who's the managing director, and you can find out all the details about what they're doing. Sorry,
yeah,
massive plug there, but, you know, they'll be presenting for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, great, great, great stock. I own a shitload personally. Dampier has become Zuleika. That was probably the redheaded stepchild of that portfolio. They're still a decent chance of a discovery. So they're trading around 4.5. So we've been in there picking up that stock. Eagle Mountain has been one of the absolute stars on that list. The share price where we raised capital for them at 13 cents, they touched 85 cents today.
What? That's,
yeah.
That's copper, isn't it? That's copper in the US, is it?
Yeah, it's copper in Arizona.
Yeah.
So backed by Charlie Bass, backed with great management, that's for a lot of my clients, that's a six-figure win. But the key now is since, and actually some clients bought it around 9 cents during COVID. So it's not a bad one to 10 bag on, but I still think there's quite a lot of juice left in it. But, you know, if a client's made 5 to 10 times their money, I'm going to suggest they take profits all the way up and then find another stock. But just goes to show, you know, with a shortage of copper opportunities that some of them are going to do exceptionally well.
Yep.
I had to laugh today at Exafarm. There was Stuart Roberts from Pitt Street Research put out a research report and he put a base case of $2.80 with a bullish case of $4.71 on Exafarm.
Good
so
boy.
That's based on their delivering exosomes as a drug delivery, purified exosomes. So there was a 29-page report. You should be able to pull that from Twitter. It is the biggest position I've held. And if I multiply my shares by that price, I'll have more money to buy fillet steak and smoked salmon with because I'm not going to buy a house with it.
Or a Maserati for that wonderful lady that does the interviews with you. Just kidding, Tony.
The Maserati. No, I like to get around at times in a 2006 Honda CRV with the rear seats missing, covered in dog hair, because you can smash it up at a shopping centre and no one knows that you've got a hint of money.
That's
so
true.
I think that's the best way to be honest. So.
Righto.
Anyway.
So Exafarm, what was that at today?
Closed up in the high 70s. So that report actually gave them quite a big impetus to the share price. So we own absolute bucket loads of that stock. I actually floated the company from the ground up. So look, I didn't pay personally for that report and I didn't bribe anyone to put those share price targets on it. But look, that thing is very illiquid. And they did come out with some average news and the share price did get beaten up. So people have to be careful with that. Godolphin, Now, this, if there was two redheaded stepchildren, they'd be twins. I don't know if that's possible. But this one's been a bit of a dog, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
David Greenwood is leaving due to family commitments, and Copper Hill East is going to take some time to evolve. The drilling results at Lewis Ponds have been great, and they're going to need some deeper drill holes into Copper Hill East. But, you know, as you know, sometimes the big mother loads take time to find. So, look, I still think they're extremely cheap and it's well worth accumulating here.
What price are they?
They're about 19.
Ugh. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Play the patient game.
Oh, you have to. I mean, Staveley took 6 years before he had any drilling success. And, you know, you're not going to find these things on the first drill hole unless you're Mark Bennett. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hammer actually got below a cent during COVID, and then they had a copper discovery up in Queensland and went to 15 cents. So they're currently around 10 and a half. We managed to get some shares around 1 cent. I raised them some money at 2.2. So still a stunning result. But there's actually some interest in the Queensland copper portfolio because JOGMEC are looking for some Japanese resource companies to take over the joint venture. This is all about getting their hands on copper.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, these they're building a bit of a WA gold story, but I think that's become secondary to them. So, look, another huge winner for us, so we're happy to stick with that one. Inca, a bit of a fluke. I recommended this stock as a way to make money. They had a 5.5 cent rights issue with two lots of free options. The share price hit about 12, 13. The options are in the money. I said to clients, look, I've got no idea how to value this stock. I've simply given you something to make a bit of money, to have a bit of fun and learn with whilst our other stocks tiptoe through the tulips. So look, I've got no idea where that could go. They've got massive drilling targets in NT and in Peru. So it's just a bit of a waiting game, but, you know, the stock's done its job. Mayfield is an electrical infrastructure company that trades strictly via appointment. They're about 44 cents. People should go and read their last financial report. I think they're getting close to profitability. It is extremely illiquid and it's a little bit different for me, but certainly worth a look. Mako Gold, I met with Peter Lebwich recently. He showed me the geology. He showed me where they're drilling in Côte d'Ivoire, which is the less shittiest country in a pretty continent, I'll call it. But to me, they look cheap. And I've seen stocks like West African sit there at 5 cents. I think that peaked at over a dollar. These results have been extremely consistent. And I think the selling pressure is pretty much some boredom from the 10, 11 cent raise.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the first gold growth stocks I'll put clients into. Metalbank, it's just a waiting game. I've actually been buying personally. We hold quite a lot of stock. Two big targets in Queensland. Inner Scotland runs it out of the UK. They don't need to be told how to suck eggs. We'll either get a discovery, and they've got their eyes out for acquisitions. So that's just going to trade between 1 and 1.2 cents. Was recently hit by a Facebook trading group, which decided they'd pump and dump it. So they pumped it all the way to 1.7 cents. And then it was a bit like the final scenes in Trading Places where they just left. Wow. So I've got to make my clients mindful that these Facebook / Reddit trading groups will just pick a stock to pump and dump. And it's good to see the financial press like the AFR starting to report on it. I think there was an article either today or yesterday that covered that. So, yeah, anyway, just waiting for Metalbank. If in the event of a decent drill hit, these things could 5 to 10 bag on massive volume. So that's what I'm there for. Narada, I just assisted in $11 million capital raising. We did that at 26 cents per CDI. The company's based in Delaware, so they're called CDIs. They're not fully paid shares, but they're still trade similar to a share. We're going to see some further results on the PCKS9 inhibitor in relation to lowering LDL cholesterol. And every time I bring up a cholesterol company, I cop it in the comments section about the cholesterol myth. I don't care. I mean, probably half the population are on statins or should be on statins. So anything that helps with that is looking good. They're also into traumatic brain injury. They did that deal with the Walter Reed Institute in the US, where 1 in 25 military personnel have a TBI. And they're also looking at concussion in sport. So that's quite topical with the rugby league and AFL seasons upon us. Now, to Red Metal, I think this is potentially the silver tsunami. It is probably one of the first stocks I put new clients in. They are divesting their interest in Maronan by spinning out the company into Maronan Metals. That's the plan. Red Metal shareholders will retain 50% of that project. As a holding, there'll be no in-specie distribution. And if the silver manipulation theories are right and silver runs, I think that's probably going to be one of the preeminent silver stocks on the ASX. And what I really like about what Rob Rutherford is doing is he's keeping the Red Metal structure tight for a discovery in its own right. And we've seen what Chalice did, 11, 12 cents to over $6 by
unbelievable
discovery. Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, at some point that stock will become an orphan. And, you know, you really got to look to sell at the peak of the exploration excitement. I don't think that can hold its value, because they're going to have to start going into studies, and that's when speculators get bored and leave. But
yeah, just, why has it run so? I mean, just on that, why has CHN run so hard? I mean, Chalice. I mean,
I've got absolutely no idea. The fact that it's, you know, it's within 100 kilometres of Perth, it has that PGE nickel commodity mix. It looks as though it's a huge discovery, but you know, the key is, Kerry, how much good news is already factored in?
Yeah,
but these things, it can be a long way down. It still could be a good project, but how many years is it going to take to get into production? And is a suitor going to wait till they knock out the PFS and definitive feasibility studies? But I think it's a good test case where someone like Rob Rutherford can look at all these discoveries and says, well, hey, wait a sec, I'm going to give Red Metal shareholders that same opportunity, which he's doing, and we still have the silver tsunami as a separate entity. So to me, that stock's probably less risk than what it was before, but with greater upside. And that's to me, that's pretty much the perfect spec.
All right.
So we're just buying the absolute shit out of that. My last stock is Westar. They are very tight gold explorer run by Carl Jupp, Simon Ely. I really like this stock. The enterprise value, which is the market cap less cash, is very low. They have a $2 million joint venture with Remilius over... So Remilius are that, they're kind of the predator, but they've completed quite a lot of drilling already, and we should have some results shortly, but very hard to buy, is very illiquid, but around 20 cents, I really like that stock. And my final one, which I added, is...
That's not on the screen.
No, I added it late. It's Chimeric Therapeutics, which is, they're looking to treat brain cancer based on the synthesized venom or toxin from a scorpion.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're actually in phase one trials at the moment in the US. It's run by Paul Hopper. He led Viralytics, and they've actually recruited some of the best cancer CAR T therapy people in the world, and the share price is going to gyrate between 28 and 32 until they come up with some news. But again, that's probably one of the first stocks I put clients in, but everyone should be cognizant that this is extremely risky, but the prognosis with that form of brain cancer, I think the survival rate's only 5%. Oh. So, you know, perhaps a critical endpoint for that phase trial could be just extending life, because I don't, you know, the potential cures for brain cancer are pretty much at the moment non-existent. So
so I
really am liking what Paul Hopper and the team are doing. The stock is rather slow with coming out with announcements, because they're just not going to announce willy-nilly. Mm. But to me, great risk reward around 29, 30 cents. So that's what I'm dealing with. That list, obviously, a few have shot the lights out. There's probably redheaded triplets, stepchildren there in the portfolio. You know, you always got to have problem children. You know, having stocks that don't perform for my clients gives them an excuse not to buy me a case of mum's champagne at Christmas time.
Okay, so that's a shout out to all of Tony's clients. Clearly he likes champagne, and the brand is Mum. Just putting it out there again.
Yeah,
you can. So if you made a ton of money from Tony this year, get him a case of champagne.
Yeah, especially Mum. To me, that's pretty much at the top. I've tried them all, but look, so that's what I go through.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, so I just want to ask you a couple of quick questions.
Yep.
With your clients, do you, you know, that's 15 stocks. Would you put your clients into every single one of those stocks, or would you talk through it all and just they choose? Like, what's your process?
I actually don't let clients, I try not to let them choose.
Right.
If I can't split stocks, then it's a personal choice. But often I'd say to a client, which stock on that list don't you like?
Right.
And that's the one you should be buying. I mean, people will say, look, I don't like that stock. But sometimes it's the ones you don't like that perform the best. But someone came to me with $50,000, I would suggest 5 times 10. And picking those 5 stocks depends on who's in between news flow, what the upside potential is. So, look, it's a very tough decision.
All righty. Tony, we are running out of time. Last comments from you, because it'll be a couple of weeks before I speak to you again. Anything could happen.
Pretty much sell everything. That's my motto. And
you just told them to buy these stocks. What do you mean sell everything?
Well, everything else.
Right.
Sell everything else. Just put all your shit on Gumtree. Take your partner out for a date. Enjoy life. We're in for some dark times, but you can actually make money by buying the right small cap stocks. And that's what this channel is doing.
That's what we're doing. We're letting you guys know these are some of the stocks that Tony's looking at this week and next. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Tony Lecantro from Aldo Capital, good to see you on Small Caps again.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Kerry.